I'm joined in studio by a number of people. Sinead Langan and Niamh Langan are sisters, and they sit opposite me this morning. And I'm also joined indeed by Jane Kelly Conroy. And we're looking, I'll go to you, to the two of you, Sinead and Niamh. Morning to both of you. Thanks for joining us today. Can I just talk about Shine Them Up for Shamie? This is for your brother.
Yeah, this fundraiser is for our brother who passed away 18 months ago today. On the 29th of September 2022, he got bacterial meningococcal meningitis, and it's a very aggressive form of meningitis. Shamie had no real symptoms of meningitis. He had no rash or anything when he probably should have had one, and he was... he had a fever and headache. That's all he had out of the symptoms, and like, he had the best care that he got, and unfortunately, like, he didn't make it through. But we didn't know about the vaccines that are available, but they have to be requested by a GP, and anyone before 2016 don't have it, that was born before 2016. So unfortunately, Shamie did not have the vaccine when he could have had it.
And Sinead, I mean, how are mum and dad doing?
They're struggling. There's no point in saying they're not. Things are hard. Look,
it's so raw, you see, Steve.
Yeah, that's it. He died suddenly. There was no warning, no nothing. He was there one day and gone the next, so it's not that easy.
Mm. But you're remembering him with Shine Him Up for Shamie. Is this the second year you've done this?
No, this is the first year.
Is this the first year you've done this?
It was kind of his friends that were always on about it. They're a brilliant group. They do call regular, and they're on about it for a long, long time, and they just kind of were on about it again lately, and we kind of said we'll go with it. It's kind of now or never. So
what are you going to do then on the 5th of May?
On the 5th of May, we're going to have a tractor and truck run for Shamie and an auction later on in the evening. The tractor and truck run is just a great way to represent Shamie, because that's all he loved. He loved the crack and he loved farming, and that's really it. Like, and he loved his friends and family.
Yeah, I'm looking at a photograph of him here. There's a gamey look about him, like.
Yeah, no, there is. He loves the crack.
A bit like you, Niamh, now. Maybe the two of you, no disrespect, Sinead, you are sisters and all. So you're going to roll out from Ballygar Square at 4 o'clock on Sunday the 5th of May 2024, and then you're going to go and have an auction on that afterwards. And when you raise money, then what are you going to do with it?
We're going to give it to Act for Meningitis, Rosebell Rooms, the ICU in Banlasloe, and for the graveyard in Ballygar.
Okay, so you're going to, and are you hoping to raise a lot of money?
Well, to be honest, like, we didn't expect to have as much as we do right now with the I Donate and everything. Like, we couldn't get over how much we've raised already.
How much have you raised?
We've raised 4,100 already.
Good. So if they go to iDonate then, and just put in Shine Them.
If you put in, if you look up on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok, Shine Them Up for Shamie, there's links and bios, and it's all over Ballygar Banter and a few places like that.
And the QR code is on the poster also.
Who came up with the title Shine Them Up for Shamie?
It was actually
one of our cousins, one of his best friends, Aidan, made it one day in the kitchen. He just popped out
of nowhere.
But what happens if they're working very hard in May? Because that's a busy time of the year and they won't have time to shine it up. Then can they still partake?
They're more than welcome.
They're more than welcome.
And do you drive tractors?
I do. Give it a go.
Give it a go.
Is that a yes or a no? No.
Would you try? We'll put it that way.
And are you good with a load now? And are you good? You could sell it.
Well, our brothers do draw bales, so that was the...
Yeah, Shamie and Connor used to draw in bales with Celtics and Tratters, and she used to help out, so...
And did you help as well?
No,
she brought tea and the sandwiches.
Tea and the sandwiches.
Well, she got the easy job, so she did. Rattling around the cab of a tractor for 18 hours a day is no cracking doing that altogether. Stay with me, because Jane Kelly Conroy joins me as well. Jane, morning to you. How are you?
Hi, good, thanks.
Now, you're part of all of this, so you are as well. And do you shout at them?
A little bit. Not so much anymore. When they were younger and little brats running by the house. But they're grown up now. They're very sensible, good girls.
Really? Are they good driving a tractor?
They're very good driving a tractor.
If you met them on the road, would they pull in and let you?
Absolutely, yeah, and a little salute and the whole lot.
I met a fella in a tractor this morning, I think he wanted to run over me. maybe he had reason to do that too. Talk to me a little bit about La Caila Benevolent Fund. What is that?
Well, BNT La Caila Benevolent Fund is a comfort fund for the community of Ballygar, Newbridge, Torgar. It stemmed from the Ballygar trucking. With Ballygar Trucking, which started in 2013, we were raising money for charities within the west of Ireland, like Cancer Care West, Galway Hospice, Western Alzheimer's and various charities. And as we had done that for a few years, we realised that there was a need within our own community to have funds for people who found themselves, through illness or accident or something like a fire of their house or that needed needed access to funds quickly. And we decided that we'd set up a separate entity and try and raise some funds and just to have it there for people who need it in the community when they need it.
We've been to other communities with Community Matters down through this year, and sometimes they call that a hardship fund. Is that
yes?
Would that be kind of
yes? Yeah, definitely. It's not for day to day expenses. It's for if you find yourself suddenly
back against the wall, funeral expenses.
Yeah. Like if you're in an accident and suddenly you can't work, and I know, you know, people say, oh well, there's insurance and stuff, but insurance can take months
and time.
And all the while you have bills to pay. And the same, you know, anybody who has experience of long illnesses, there's hidden costs with parking and eating in hospitals and travelling and missing time off work. So it's just as I liked how with specifically towards the illness, it was recently called a comfort fund.
Yeah.
You know, that it just a little bit of support, financial support for people when they need it.
And discreetly done then?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's 100% confidential. We have a very small committee of six in total, and when we receive an application or a referral, we meet and discuss it and look at the merits. And we're regulated by the Charity Regulators of Ireland. We're a registered charity, so we are very strict in how we, I suppose, run the benevolent fund and how we distribute funds. We have to be sure that they're going to the people that need the most and that it's all accounted for.
So you're from Ballygar, are you?
I am indeed, yeah.
And did your parents come back from America?
They did. Dad was born and reared in Ballygar, down at the corner house, which is now Fallon's. And he left for England and then further on to New York. And Mam is from Kilcock and Kildare, and she went to England, Paris, and then New York, where they met and married. And Dad dragged her back in the late 60s from her lovely apartment in New York to a little house. Don't know if that's even the word for no running water, no electricity. I would have been, love you, bye, straight boat, straight back. No qualms.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And did they travel by boat then? They would
have. They would have, yeah. It was all by boat by then, a long journey. But they were delighted to be back. Like, Dad loved Ballygar. His whole life away from Ballygar was to get back to Ballygar. And they came back and they worked really, really hard and built a great life for themselves. You know, started off farming and moved on. Dad worked on building sites with Brick Build back in the day and then set up his own company, Popular Homes. And they travelled.
Was your dad Popular Homes?
Yes.
A tall gentleman.
Yeah, he was about 6 foot, I suppose. Yeah. Michael Anthony.
Yeah. I knew him.
Oh, God help you.
Yeah. No, back in the day when we were looking at to build or buy a house, Poplar Homes, we went to see one in Clare Galway that he was so proud of that he built. Still there, as you
Still there, yeah. It's still owned by the family, yeah.
Is it by your family?
Yeah.
Get away.
Yeah.
What a small world.
Unbelievable.
An absolute gentleman of gentlemen.
Oh, stop, yeah. He was great. He could be cross too at times.
but he wasn't a pushy salesperson when he was selling those houses.
No, not at all.
And were there many of them built?
Huge number of them. I was recently over in Acklin. I hadn't been in ages, and as I crossed the bridge and went over, you could see this house in the distance, and they had a very distinctive style.
They had,
and I was like, that's Popular Homes house.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's gas. We spot them all over the place. I mean, they used travel. Like the guys that worked with them, they had a van at one stage, a clapped up caravan, and they'd be driven to site on a Monday morning. They'd be on site at 8 a.m. and they'd be picked up on Friday evening at 5 o'clock, and they could be in the middle of nowhere, out in Belmullet, Ackle, Clifton. They travelled wherever it needed to be for work at the time.
Such a small world. Talk to me a little bit about the playground. I'll go back to the girls in a moment. The playground, the old playground. Did you get hurt at the old playground?
I did. I've a lovely big scar in the back of my head where I got hit by the swing. It was a huge big metal thing.
It wasn't the swing's fault at all.
No, it was my brother who was swinging it as I walked by gleefully. Yeah.
And you got a crack of it.
I did. I got a crack of it. My poor other brother, who was supposed to be playing a hurling match, Michael, had to drag me up the town with blood everywhere. Even though the doctor's surgery was straight across the road, I wouldn't go in. I had to go home. So there's people have plenty of memories of me running up the road with Michael holding me and just blood everywhere.
How long ago was that?
Oh, gosh. Over 40 years ago, well, over 40.
It's healed by now.
Yes, just about. The mental scars are still there, though. Never heal.
I know that you mentioned Popular Homes, and I just can't believe you camped out in the forest as well.
We did as teenagers. God, during the carnival times, anything for a bit of freedom. We're like, oh, Mum, Dad, we're all going camping down the woods. Not to mention that we'd be walking up to the carnival, you know, for half the night.
Yeah.
But one particular time, a group of us camped out and our friends' cousins came from Athlone, and there was a good gang of us, and we decided to go down and camp in the green, and we found a lovely spot. Oh my God, the grass was lovely and flat,
lush,
and cosy and lush, and it was comfort. And so we pitched our tents and, you know, got ready and said, come on, we go up the town. So we headed up the town, and like that, it was the old marquee at the time, and I think maybe the Stunning or somebody was playing, and we were brewing up a storm, absolutely the heads were swinging all over the place, and we went to the chipper and made our way back down to the green, and, like, you know, got it all cosy and got in, and next thing we could hear, like, rustling and that outside. We had decided to pitch our tents where the deer slept. That's why it was such a lovely spot.
They had
it prepared for us. So we found ourselves surrounded by deer, so we didn't sleep the night. We're like, get away.
Did they move on?
They did. They weren't happy, but they didn't annoy us too much. Thank God there's no wild wolves running around.
Not that you know of.
Maybe in a couple of years.
I want to come back to the two girls again here that are sitting opposite me today, Sinead and Niamh. If people are listening to us today and they want to get involved in Shine 'Em Up for Shamie, what should they do? Or where should they go to?
Well, there's a contact number on the poster pages where you can get on social media, or even send a text over social media, or scan the QR code and donate as little as anything. Like, we take any small amount or big amount. Like, everything is greatly appreciated by us.
And you'll travel by tractor to anywhere to collect money if they want to donate.
Yeah, we will.
Which one of them will drive, though? I don't know. I have a funny feeling now, it'll be Sinead that'll be doing the driving, Niamh. Maybe you and I like the easy life. I prefer to be making the tea as well. But listen, if they want to get further details on it, just put in Shine 'Em Up for Shamie, taking place on Sunday, the 5th of May, 2024. And again, it's from 4 o'clock on. It's going to be, it'll be a lovely day, and I hope that it gives Mum and Dad a bit of a lift on the day as well. At 18 months, I know, Mum and Dad, what you're going through, because we went through it ourselves at home a long, long time ago now, but it's not easy. But there is light at the end of the tunnel, but it takes a while to get there. So thank you guys for joining us today. Let's take a short commercial break, and we're back just after these live from Ballygarren. We're coming to you live from Kenny's Bar here in Ballygarren.
Galway talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway on the Monavay Road, a new way to car shop.
The Community Matters series is brought to you by Galway Bay FM and is funded by Commission na Meán.
Now, very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. Coming to you live from Ballygarren. We're with you right through until 12 midday. Let me go back to Galway City, and Dave O'Connell joins me from the Connacht Tribune. And the City Tribune is out since early morning. And your lead story, Dave, is a good news on the jobs front. Well done to you. We don't have them there yet. Okay, what we'll do is I'll tell you what, we'll get John to move in here. And then what I'll do is I will get Dave on the other line then as well. So, Mr. Morley, take it away. You're going looking at sport.
Yeah, thanks indeed, Keith. We're looking at sport in Ballygar for the next while. I'm delighted to say I'm joined in Kenny's Bar in Ballygar by Sean, Gavin, Fintan Walsh and Johnny Fitzmaurice in the home as well. Gentlemen, you're all very welcome onto the programme today. And Enda, I might start with you first. Good morning and thanks for joining us.
How are things, John?
Thanks for joining us on the programme today. No, so you're involved with St. Brendan's ladies football in Ballygar, but you're also involved in the Galway setup as well as a selector. Talk to us about St. Brendan's ladies. I know there's been great success and great talent there over the years.
Yeah, I suppose the foundation of the club was 94, and ever since that there's been a wide connection with Galway football, different levels. 94, so set up by Con Moynihan, who was part of the Galway senior management in 2000 and 2002, 2003. Yeah, we've won numerous titles. We have a good underage setup. We have about 125, 126 underage players in the club. Huge volunteerism from all the coaches, management and staff. And, you know, it's great work within the community by all those people who are offering up their time to provide a service for the underage and the girls.
Yeah, talk to us about some of that success. What days stand out for St. Brendan's ladies?
Yeah, look, at we have senior success in 1998, 4 years after we formed the club. We bet Kilcairn Clonburn, who were on a 3-in-a-row run at that stage. Mm-hmm. They're on a bit longer of a run now currently, but that's different. But in the 2000s, we had huge success. We had 2002, we won a senior title. 2005, we won a senior title. And 2011, we won a senior title. We went on then and won intermediate at 2018, more recently, and junior in 2021.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were very unlucky in some of the All-Ireland in 2005, particularly. We lost to Dunamoyne in Monaghan in the All-Ireland semi-final, which was a bitter pill to swallow. But look, you pick yourself up and you go again, and that's just the nature of sport.
But that can't happen without a lot of work at underage levels, and you've had great success in the underage ranks over the last few years as well.
Yeah, massive success, and look, at even more, last year our under-14s won a county title, which is a lot of hard work put in by some previous senior players and juvenile players throughout the years, like Becky McPhillibin, you know, Emma O'Malley doing serious work there as well. But then that's just to name a few of the players that played for Galway and for the club at senior level. But, you know, it's all down to the other volunteers, that parents who offer up their time and, you know, bring their expertise to the players and give them an opportunity to express themselves on the football field.
Absolutely. You've had some legends of the game as well, and even from a managerial sense, I know you've gone into the Galway ladies set up now, but the likes of Con Moynihan as well.
Yeah, Con, as I said, was a founder member of the club initially, the first chairperson of the club. You know, he offered up an awful amount of time, a lot of time when the club started. We had 3 years of success at Fela, 97, 98 and 2001, and that was, you know, the two successes in 97-98 were down to Con. He was involved in most teams. He went on then and managed Galway from 2000 to 2003.
Yeah. Talk to us about your work with the Galway ladies footballers as a selector, because I know you were with the underage team and now you're with the senior team, and you've a big test ahead on Sunday.
Yeah, look, I suppose it's not where we want to be on Sunday, going into the last game in a relegation battle with Waterford, and a winner takes all. Mm. Division 1 status is, you know, priority for Galway for next year. Mm. This year, though, in the league, we opened up the league to a lot of players, exposed them to it who are new to the setup, gives them the opportunity to develop and to see where we are. But Connacht Championship is where we're aiming for, and beyond that then in the All-Ireland qualifier series. So, you know, it's been a tough year so far for Galway senior ladies, but it's not, we've played some really good performances, just the results have just nicked us by a point or 2 points, just very unfortunate. But as I said, you know, we've given players plenty of opportunity, time on the pitch, players who may not have had that time previously. So, look, it's all about development and progressing and aiming for a Connacht Championship and the All-Ireland Series.
Yeah, that's going to be a raucous battle against Mayo on the 12th of May.
Yeah, indeed. Look, it always is when you're up against your fierce rivals. And, you know, I'm a bit caught because both my parents are Mayo people, and here I am wearing a Galway top and proud to be a Galway man. And I have a first cousin who's on the Mayo panel, so it's kind of a family loyalty and goes out the window that day. But, you know, I want the bragging rights afterwards. I want to be the one to be able to dig deep.
Definitely. Let's go to your male counterparts now in St. Brendan's GAA, and we're joined by Johnny Fitzmaurice. Johnny, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Morning. Good morning to your listeners.
Talk to us about St. Brendan's GAA team, and you're the manager of the intermediate team indeed. Talk to us about what the past few seasons have been like for you.
Yeah, look, I'm the current manager of the intermediate team. I've taken over this year. I'm standing in here today on behalf of our chairman, Gerry Kilcommons, who's on a whistle-stop tour and a retirement tour of the US at the moment. I think if Jurgen Klopp gets a good retirement send-off with Gerry Kilcommons, he'll do well. But so he asked me to stand in. So I'm the manager just taking over this year. I'm part of a large management team there. We're intermediate status at the moment. You know what I mean? We're trying to progress in that level, in that class at the moment. It's a very competitive, very very competitive division. We have gotten to the knockout stages in the last number of years, and I suppose the word I have for everybody is that we progress this year and see how we get on in that. Yeah.
Yeah, and you have a very young team, but the underage structures locally are quite strong.
Yeah, St. Brendan's covers all underage underage groupings from under six all the way up to two senior adult teams. We have quite a strong under 15 failure group this year, where I think it might be the first time in the club's history where they have two teams in that category, which brings in about maybe the guts of 40 young fellas, you know. Mm. So our underage structure has been very strong, and it feeds in well into the adult teams. We're fed by three national schools in Winfield, Ballygar and Ballachlee, which are well populated and feed it well into the club.
And unusual for rural Ireland and rural Galway as well, you have the bragging status that you haven't amalgamated with anyone else to field numbers and field teams at underage grades.
Yeah, we're fortunate in that regard. We haven't found that we've had to do that yet. You don't know what the future brings, but we have quite a strong number of youths in Newbridge and Ballygar that were able to hold their own and not have to amalgamate with another club. Hopefully that's the way we can keep it going forward. Yeah.
And talk to me about Rory. He's going quite well.
Yeah, we're mighty proud of Rory Cunningham. He's our brand ambassador at the moment. He's up at the Galway Seniors. He's made quite a name for himself this year in the league, performed really well, and Páraic Joyce has seen fit to keep him with the squad for the remainder of the year, it looks like. Hopefully now he get on well this weekend in Ruislip, he gets some game time. We know the talent Rory has, and he is now beginning to show that at the county level. I believe Rory will be with the Galway senior setup for the next 10 years, all going well for him. So yeah, we're mighty proud of Rory, and we're all looking at him, and he's an idol to the youngsters that you talked about earlier on. They're all looking at him, you know.
Yeah, and that Monaghan game was a real watershed moment for Galway in the league, and was vital, as it turned out, towards the end of the league. And Rory stood up that day as well.
Yeah, stood up 1-3 from play. Didn't take a second thought, banged the goal in. But that's Rory for you. He'll score for you every day. I believe. He may have been the top scorer in the Intermediate Championship last year. I might be wrong on that, but that's how good he is. We're looking to find a few more Rorys as we come along, you know. Hopefully this year, if we find another one, we might be able to progress further in the Championship.
Brilliant. Thanks for joining us, Johnny. We also have Sean Gavin, who's joining us from Shiven Rovers. Sean, good morning.
Morning, John. How are you?
Thanks for joining us today, Sean. Talk to us about Shiven Rovers FC. I suppose you're unusual in Galway, particularly since other clubs have changed over, but you play in Roscommon, am I right in saying?
Yeah, we're playing the Roscommon District League. Probably about six or seven Galway clubs in that league.
Brilliant. And talk to us about your catchment area.
Our catchment area, the club is based in Newbridge. We bring players in from Ballygar, Ballinamore Bridge and Mount Bellew. So we're kind of caught in between a good few clubs, so it's not a very big catchment area, John.
Okay. And the highlights for the club over the year, is it that Club of the Year title, or what do you look to?
Sure, we had many achievements over the years. Club of the Year, yeah, when you mentioned it, 2016. We were entered in that because of our facilities. A Clare and District League team were playing the Roscommon League team in Shiven, and they commended us on our facilities, and it actually was a clear FA that put us forward for Club of the Year.
Wow.
And from that we were shortlisted to eight clubs in the country, and we're the only club from the Roscommon District League to achieve that honour.
Wow. And you know the club intimately. I believe you've held nearly every role in the club over the past number of years.
I have been in a good few of them, all right, yeah. I'm currently the manager of the senior men's team.
Brilliant. And how are you going?
We're going well. We're in a competitive division. Like for a rural club, we're punching above our weight. As Johnny mentioned there, other clubs around, other areas around here, clubs amalgamate to have strong teams. But so far we can stay on our own. But we're competing with the likes of Boyle, Ballyhadreen, Castlereagh, Ballinasloe, all big towns, and we're currently about mid-table. We're doing, and hopefully we'll stay there.
Okay, the big development for you has been the development of your grounds. Talk to us a bit about that over the past few years.
I suppose about just over 20 years ago, we bought our own grounds. We had some good foresight at the time. We bought some land near a community pitch. We had a very strong committee at the time, and we availed of a lot of the sports capital grants. We invested a lot in the grounds with voluntary labour, and we'd probably be known far and wide as being one of the best grounds in Connacht.
Mm-hmm. And because of that, you've been able to host a lot of the underage games in your venue.
Yeah, sometimes people will have a big facility and it's not used enough, so obviously our club uses it. But all the Roscommon District League's schoolboys games and finals and inter-county games are played there. For a number of reasons, we have three pitches. It's in a rural setting, it's on a quiet road, it's safe for underage. Galway National Schools finals are played there every March. Mm. And again, we can facilitate eight pitches for those finals.
Mm. I know it's very much a part of the community that's used and utilised as a function room for different organisations.
Yeah, we have a fine function room. It's used every Monday night for progressive 25 card games, which is part of the funding of the club. It's our grounds is located close to the Killeen graveyard. Mm-hmm. So many funeral after parties are held there.
Brilliant. We also have with us Fintan Walsh of Ballygar Hurling. Fintan, you're the chairman of the club. So talk to us about Ballygar Hurling. I know you have a proud tradition as well, like your football counterparts.
Yeah. Well, Hurling has existed in the parish a long time. The club is affiliated since 1968, I think it is. Yeah. Our current status is at the minute, well, 2 years ago, we won the Junior A County title. So that was probably our biggest recent achievement. And we went to intermediate last year then. We won the Division 3 final last year at Intermediate, got to within a hair's whisper of reaching the county quarter final, which in itself was a big achievement, and we've ranked ourselves in well. The current Intermediate team, I suppose, would have, I suppose, really established itself at under 16 level, where they won under 16A back in 2017-2018. So they've been coming a while, and we had the big breakthrough then, I suppose, 2 years ago then, and into intermediate level then last year. Mm. Although we're separately affiliated, like, we would work closely with St Brendan's, and we now had the dual players there, and I suppose someone will talk about the facility then later on about that as well, like, but we do work closely together.
It's amazing to see two clubs so rural, but both at intermediate level and going well, like.
Yeah. As we said, like, we've had bottlenecks along the way, like, but at Juve, no more than St Brendan's now, our juvenile structure has really flourished in recent years. We put in an awful lot of effort into that. The signs are on it as well. Like, we've two young guys there, Harry Holmes and Carl Maloney, coming through at minor level at Galway at the minute, and we're doing with the development groups in Galway last year as well. But we are in the parish with three national schools, Ballyclee, Wenfield and Ballygar, going from Newbridge to Torgar and Ballygar. Mm. But like that now as well, we've invested heavily. We've a lot of generous people and sponsors locally, and who are associated with the club, and we've been able to invest in a development officer through the county system there as well this year. So we've a coach who is focused for the next, I suppose, 20 weeks within the national schools, and that extends down to Glensk and Glenamaddy as well. Mm-hmm. And we work closely there with the community school in Glenamaddy as well, and brought our own coaches in to promote the game down there, and I suppose extend our catchment as well.
Talk to us about your development plan, which you launched quite recently.
Yeah, so we launched a development plan 2 weeks ago. Now, again, it's been a while coming. There are two key aspects to it. We've history of Hurling, the parish, not just the club itself, because as I said, the club itself was established in 68, but with history of hurling going back as far as 1900 and that. So there's an awful lot of interest in reading in it. And we have the club development plan as well, and we have key pillars within that. I suppose at juvenile level, a key part, one of those aspects is camogie as well. So camogie has been intermittent since the late 70s. But we've affiliated again now this year as underage and under 10 in camogie as well.
Brilliant. Well, Fintan Walsh, thank you for joining us on the programme, and thanks indeed as well to Sean Gavin and Johnny Fitzmaurice and Enda Holmes as well. And I believe we may have Dave O'Connell back on the line now for the City Tribune headlines. Dave, are you there, and can you hear me from Ballygar?
I most certainly can, John. I heard Keith calling me in earlier, but I knew when the two of you ended up with a bar at this hour of the morning that there'd be problems, you know.
Well, you thought right. Dave, your first story, your lead story indeed, is good news on the job front, as Keith mentioned earlier.
Yeah, as Keith mentioned earlier, and people will know this because it's coming earlier on in the day now, an American company announcing the creation of over 100 new jobs in the city later today. Great vote of confidence in the city and in the West. It's also a big day for Crewe Creative Enterprise West in Clonwira, which is officially opening today. So good news immediately on the jobs front, more jobs will follow from this. So it's good news into the long run as well.
Absolutely. There's also good news for 45 Ukrainians who had been given notice to quit their accommodation here.
Yeah, we spoke about this on the programme before, John. The families were put on notice that their emergency accommodation on the east side of the city was being terminated, and that would have impacted clearly on all of them, but most of all on a substantial number of children who were now settled into local schools and yet looking like they'd have to change with just a few months to go until the end of the school year. And it was actually the schools themselves who kicked up the biggest stink about this, highlighting the effect that, you know, another huge move would have on children who've already made such a massive adjustment. So this week comes the news that the notices to quit are off because a new lease agreement has been reached with the landlord, and that keeps them where they are, and that story is on page 5.
Now, like the rest of us, your local election coverage is increasing by the week.
It is. I'm not sure if we're doing it or if it's because it's flowing in at us, but in either event, there's two pages of stories this week. Everything from Terry O'Flaherty announcing she'll run again, hoping to extend her presence, I should say, beyond her current quarter century. And at the other end, the former Chamber President, Kenny Deary, announcing he's going for the first time, and quite a bit more as well over the spread. And no doubt, as I say, it'll grow incrementally between now and June.
Now, the Galway footballers take up the back page ahead of the opening round of the Connacht Championship. You're flying over yourself, Dave.
If only. I'll have to confine myself to tuning into Galway Bay, which is always the best way to see it, because the pictures in your brain are much better than the reality. Anyway, I would probably just go off beam if I went to London for a weekend, but there's plenty gone from Galway, and they'll be in Ruislip on Sunday, as opposed to the Mayo lads that are gone to New York. But sure, that's always the way that these things are. But Galway with injuries, as you know, but still enough in the can to hopefully make progress. So that's the main story in sport. Plenty as well on Galway United after a massive away win in Derry, a disappointing home feat to Bohemians. But we'd probably have taken that at this part of the season. And now we have the Connacht Derby at the weekend against Sligo Rovers. So that's all previewed in sport.
And what else have you, Dave?
Loads in there, John. That story of young Colin Conroy, now officially the youngest person to scale Africa's highest mountain, Kilimanjaro, at the age of 10, completing that climb with his 13-year-old brother Aaron and his dad Peter. Good news for train commuters around Oranmore, with the major station upgrade on track for the end of 2025, I think. The arrival of floodlights at Pearse Stadium in Galway after a long, long battle there. And the Galway Rape Crisis Centre fundraising draw for 100 grand, and those two pages of pics and the story from the reunion of the St. Mary's College old boys from half a century ago, although I do a disservice to them calling them old boys, because some of them are still young boys, if only at heart.
Absolutely. Dave O'Connell, the Connacht Tribune Group editor, thank you for joining us on Community Matters.
Thanks, John.
We're back after these with more stories from Ballygar and Kenny's Bar indeed, with Pat Hannon and Pat McDonough, as we look at tidy towns, and we also look at the new pitch facilities and development here in the town. So all that plus lots more coming up between now and 11 o'clock.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motorball. Drive happy in Windsor Motorball Galway, with hundreds of used cars to suit your budget.
The Community Matters series is brought to you by Galway Bay FM and is funded by Commission na Meán.
Now, very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. Can I send a big thank you to our hosts indeed today, which are the Kelly family here, but to Mary and Declan and their daughter, who's with us as well, who's been minding us all the way through. But a sincere thank you to Mary and Declan. And Mary's here in fine blue colours, I have to say. And can we send greetings to Oliver Holmes in Centra and Damien Trainer from the garage there. They're big employers in Ballygar, and Tom Kenny wanted me to mention them because he forgot about them as well. I want to go there to Pat Hannan, who joins me, and I'll go to Pat McDonough about Tidy Towns in a moment as well. But Pat Hannan, first I want to go to you in relation to the pitch. You were showing me some photographs there. 2013, you broke ground.
Yeah, well, that was after we broke ground in 2013, but that was after a process whereby we went to find new ground to develop new facilities, because the old facility down the forest was really not suitable anymore for the amount of teams and so on.
Yeah.
So we embarked on a search to find new land, which we found, and bought off the local landowner, and we then embarked on getting planning permission, which took a year or two to sort out. And then on the 6th of July 2013, we broke ground, and that was the start of the development.
And how long did it take to do?
To do, well, so far we have two fully functioning pitches, a main pitch and a training pitch. We have perimeter fencing around the main pitch. We have the goalposts, obviously. We have the netting at the back of the goalposts. We have car parking for upwards of 400 cars.
Wow.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And that enables us to function fairly big events. We also have a walkway around the pitches, and we have brand new dressing rooms. We have four big dressing rooms. We have an upstairs strength and conditioning facility. We have public toilets, disabled toilets, medical room, and referees room.
And how much of an investment has gone into this? Because it sounds very modern and very fresh.
Yeah, it's bang up to modern standards for sure. So far, excluding what we're working on at the moment, we've spent about 1.2 million.
You've got good value for money now. You must know somebody in construction, do you?
Pardon?
You must know somebody in construction. You got good value for money, so you did.
No, in fairness, we've had unbelievably generous contributions made by local businesses and individuals.
Yeah.
We've had work carried out voluntarily. And we have an excellent both fundraising and construction group, which has enabled all of this to happen, if you like. Albeit, some would argue that we haven't moved that fast, but we've moved in accordance with the funds that are available.
Yeah.
So at no point have we allowed the clubs to get into debt.
And that's a sensible way of doing it.
It absolutely is, yeah. Now, sometimes people might get frustrated that they think we're not moving as quick as we should, but it's going forward in an orderly manner, and that's the way we hope to keep it.
And what would you like to see when it's all finished, if you had all the money collected and all that done? What's the final project going to look like?
Well, the final project is going to be what you have at the moment up there, which is the dress rooms and all and so forth. We would hope to have an AstroTurf pitch at some point, and ball walls, and the whole of the car park at the moment is temporary surfacing. You know, it's like Clause 804, yeah, dust and chipping sort of thing. But we'd hope to tarmac that, drain it and line it so it's all laid out properly. We need to put up a proper wall along the front of the pitch with a proper entrance and so forth. And one of the major things that remains outstanding is a footpath connecting the pitch facilities with the town.
Mm.
So at the moment there's a footpath to the speed limits at the perimeter of the town. But from there up, there isn't a footpath. And I suppose I wouldn't mind taking the opportunity to, you know...
nudge the council.
Ask Galway County Council nicely if they would like to assist us on that front.
It would be good if they did. Stay with you, if you don't mind. I want to go to Pat McDonough indeed, who joins me. And Pat, morning to you as well. You're not the Supermax Pat McDonough now, so you...
Oh, indeed not. No, I wouldn't be as rich as that.
Tasty and tempty food at Supermax. We won't go there yet. But you're looking after Tidy Town, so you are, and keeping an eye on Tidy Town. So you're the official spokesperson today.
I'm the official spokesperson today. The main people aren't available. Chairperson Micheál Nocton, Tomás Kenny, the secretary, and my good wife, Nuala McDonough, who looks after the finances. I'd be down the list, but anyway, I was nominated.
Listen, you're up the list now, sir. We brought you back up, so we did. But, I mean, the town does look in pristine condition.
Yes, well, it would have entered the earlier years of the Tidy Towns competition back in the late 1950s and early 60s, and they would have got awards then. But after a few years, I suppose it died. And then back in 2012, a new committee was established, and they've taken it from there.
Yeah, but you take great pride in the town and the area.
Oh, yeah, yes. Well, there's great cooperation from the businesses and the local schools and that in helping the Tidy Towns.
Mm. And does it take a lot of time and a lot of money to do it?
Well, there will be about 20 volunteers plus a few extra who do help out.
Yeah.
We meet every Saturday morning at about 11 o'clock, and we'd work for a few hours there. Coming up to the judging time then, we would meet more often, maybe twice a week or maybe more. That would be in May and June. But we'd continue the work from maybe March until October every year.
And talk to me about the courthouse as well. It's been used as a hub, and there's restoration going on there as well.
Yes, well, there were a number of projects that started off with back in 2012. One was the wildlife garden and Park Souvenirs, which were neglected areas just beside the town, and they were restored. And then the courthouse was purchased in 2014. It was built originally in 1850 and used as a courthouse for years. Then it was taken over by the church and used as a hall. And the local credit union had it for a number of years, and then it was unoccupied. So with local funding and fundraising, Tidy Towns purchased it and restored it. And it's used now as a meeting place and a hub for various, mainly the Tidy Towns, but various other committees in the town. Yeah.
But lovely to have it though, Pat.
Oh, it's a lovely building. It's very historic, of course. Yeah.
But lovely to leave for generations to come.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes, it is.
And
yes.
Would it have been a very active courthouse in its day?
Well, I presume it was, but it was from 1850 up to sometime in the early 20th century, maybe 1920 or 30. I don't know exactly when it ended up as a courthouse.
But a lot of towns had a courthouse, so it was the time then.
And
what's it used for now, can I ask you?
Well, it's used for meetings.
Just meetings and
towns.
Meeting hub, and that's it.
Yeah. The Bridge Club use it on a Monday night there. And there's, at the moment, Pilates and yoga going on there, I think. And the Ladies Club use it as well. Yeah.
Now, Pat mentioned pathways there. I know that there are walkways that you feel are needed as well in the town.
Yes, well, that's one of the projects at the Tidy Towns hope to proceed with in the next this year and next year. They're making various pathways in the localities for walkways, and they'd hope to link in with that. They'd hope to link in with the Sook Valley Way, the Breffni Way, and there is another one as well that they hope to link in with. Various walkways, and they're getting funding. Some of them have been started already.
Can I go back? Thanks, Pat, for that. But can I go back to you, Pat? And I mean, from a local council representation side of things, I know that you have spoken to the councillors locally about that path?
Oh, we have. Yeah, we've met them several times up there, actually on site.
Yeah,
and
it's not going to cost
not moving,
that much. Like,
it's not moving. That's the problem.
Yeah, but it won't cost that much. But you don't want somebody to get hurt either on the road.
Well, I mean, that's one of the reasons. I don't believe we'd actually be allowed to do it ourselves. It has to be done by
the council.
Correct.
Yeah. How long would it be, that stretch of pathway?
Well, the stretch we actually want them to do, because we'll do the rest ourselves, albeit the entire length that needs the footpath is about 650 metres. We only want the council to do about 130 metres. The rest we'll do ourselves, because we own the land and we can build the footpath along the land ourselves.
Okay, so 130 metres.
Yeah, approximately.
You know about, how much would it be roughly a metre to do? Roughly, would it be 200 euro, 300 euro a metre?
I would say of the order of about 100,000, because there's a bank of clay to be removed, and obviously you've got to put in the heavy-duty curbs and so on, and it's for traffic management.
To support the investment that you put into it, not a big amount of money, but I have to leave it, unfortunately, Pat. We will take it up again with you, and John will as well. But Pat Hannon and Pat McDonough, thank you for joining us. Now, let's take a short commercial break, and we're back after news.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway and get free 3-year warranty on hundreds of used cars.